a beautiful day.
Yeah. And it still seems fresh to me.
Yeah.
Like the snow was just yesterday.
I know.
Ugh.
But anyway, hope you had a good 4th of July.
I did. I went to Bethel for the Bethel Blast.
Oh, yeah.
It was great.
I'm sure.
I was really impressed. The fireworks show was awesome. Free food and the music was great. And it was just wonderful. I just want to thank everybody that came together to put that on. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a great time.
Well, good.
Yeah.
I've never made it over there, but I've always heard that it's a good time and a good community. I know a lot of those people. I'm related to a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And a good community. And
I was really impressed.
Yeah, I had a good 4th as
Excellent.
Well.
What'd you do?
Visited with family, watched some fireworks over in Mountain City. My brother, my mom lives over there. So we had a good time. Had a good time together. Had good services on Sunday. Good fellowship Sunday afternoon. And then worked real hard yesterday. So I'm still recovering from that.
Back to the working week so
yes,
you can get
yes.
better. Yeah, that's good.
Anyway, I'm going to do our proverb for today, and I guess what I'll do to begin with, you know what today is, Dave?
It's the 6th.
It's the 6th of July.
It's the 6th of July.
And it's our 1 year anniversary on the Blessings of Liberty Radio podcast.
All right, so. let's get a little hand. I didn't have it ready, but here we get a little false there. Thank you. Thank you all. There's some clapping. You can't
hear. Oh, I can hear it. I don't have my
headphones on. I'll give them to you if you want them.
But it's 1 year anniversary today.
Well, happy anniversary, Wynn.
Yes.
Yeah.
We started last year on the 7th.
Mm-hmm.
Was a Tuesday
okay.
in July. And so today what I'm going to do is just reminisce a little bit. And I went back through and looked at what I'd talked about last year at this time. And I'm going to recap some of those things. I talked about the Declaration of Independence. But, you know, I wish we could meet together this morning and say, you know, a year ago, the condition in America, because the thing that really got me desiring to do this, I see in our country a moving away from the Constitution for sure. A moving away from what made our country great. And so I wanted to have a radio broadcast, had it on my heart, to go back to the Bible, to go back in our history and make ourselves aware of some of the great things that have been done in America's past. And so we've sort of stayed along those lines, and even our the name of the radio broadcast,
right.
Blessings of Liberty. It comes from the preamble to the Constitution, which talks about the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, that these things would be perpetuated. And so we're going to talk about the Declaration of Independence today, because that is what took place July the 4th, 1776. But before we do that, we're going to read out of Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 9, and I believe this goes right along with the subject. One little verse there. It's been talking in context in Proverbs chapter number 6. It's been talking about the ants. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. But verse number 9, it says, "How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep?" And I think that would be a good message for us to hear in America today. When will we arise out of our sleep? It seems like, yes, there are some people waking up to the dire straits that we're in today and seeing there's a need to do something, but what do we do? But I think the majority, by and large, are still very much asleep and not in tune to what is going on and what we need to be doing in our country. In our churches, we need to be praying. The Bible says, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land." And oh, how we need to pray, and we need to wake up in this day and time in which we live. And before we go to break this morning, I'd like to invite you out. Cornerstone Baptist Church is having revival this week. That's out Wildcat Road. It's starting every night at 7:30, and the first part of the week has just been prayer. Brother Eric, and he's been a guest on the radio broadcast before, just a prayer revival. And I went last night, and I really got a blessing out of it. We just got together and shared some prayer requests and things along those lines. And then the church just came to the altar and prayed. And my, how we need to get back to prayer in our churches for our country and for our communities and for our friends and for our neighbors. But we just had a good time of prayer. And then tonight, I believe they'll be doing the same thing. Tomorrow night, I think Beach Valley's going down there, and Brother Hamby's going to be preaching, and then I'm going to be preaching on Thursday night and Friday night. So that's at Cornerstone Missionary Baptist Church, and starts nightly at 7:30, and I think the prayer room starts about 7. So I'd like to invite you out for that. I want to say all those things before we get in the content of the broadcast this morning. So stay tuned. And we'll be dealing with some of these things. We're back this morning, and I would like to thank the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. You know, when we started the radio broadcast, my business sponsored the program, and Adams Lumber and Hardware, and we're still in business. We're still there and working and planning on staying in business, but throughout the year it became necessary, or what we might say, a great help to us when the church came on and began to sponsor the radio broadcast. And so I do appreciate Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. And Dave, I have to say, we have quite a few visitors who have heard me on the radio that come to church, and people that talk and come in and say they appreciate it. And so we do appreciate our listeners over the past year.
I appreciate the way in which you share your faith on the on the air. I do appreciate that.
Yeah.
So it, you know, I haven't attended your church, but I am subjected's not the right term, but I'm a listener to your faith, and I do appreciate the fact that you share it on the air in the way in which you're
like in the Bible, they that endure to the end shall be saved. And Dave, he sets in here.
It's been a year.
He's a good listener, and I appreciate that. I did want to say just a few things. Last week was on the subject of Israel. And I had taught on that during Bible school week, how that our blessings in America and our treatment of Israel is tied together. And many verses in the Bible, Genesis chapter number 13, talks about, I will bless him that bless thee, I'll curse him that curseth thee. And that was a promise that God made to Abraham, an unconditional promise. And I did not find this during Bible school week, but after. And I looked for what I'd done during Bible school week, which was, I'll get it wrong if I say it, but I had been looking at the BP oil spill, and I had found a book that had outlined our treatment of Israel and our dealings with Yasser Arafat and some of the other people over there, and how that every time we seemingly turned our back on Israel or done something that was detrimental to their exercise of a free nation, that there would come a tragedy upon us in the United States of America. And what I found out after Bible school, and I'm just going to take a moment to share it with you this morning, is on April the 19th, April 19th, 2010, that was when all this was going on with Israel and the flotilla and the tragedy over there. You know, it's tragic anytime there's loss of life, and, all those things were going on. But on April the 19th, I found this out after the fact, after I'd taught on it. On April the 19th, Mr. Obama came out in response to the flotilla aid ship to Gaza and the tragedy that they had over there. He came out and said on April the 19th, we will no longer automatically be in support of Israel, that everything from this point on is going to be subject to inspection first, whatever. But made that statement, we'll no longer automatically be standing with Israel. And on April the 20th is when the BP oil spill began to flow in the Gulf, and of course is still flowing today. And so I thought that was interesting. There's a little piece on the internet, and I can't remember the address, but a guy, he makes a presentation about how these things go together. But the Bible says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. And I've had some people ask me about that. You know, why pray for the peace of Jerusalem? Why be concerned about that? When we're praying for the peace of Jerusalem as a Christian people, what we're actually praying for is what we sometimes refer to as the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because when we study the Bible, and what we find out in the Bible is that according to the prophecies in the Bible, that Jesus Christ will literally come back to this earth and will rule and reign from Jerusalem. There will never be peace in that area of the world until Christ comes back and sets up his millennial reign, is what we call it, a 1,000-year reign. And so when we're praying for the peace of Jerusalem, that's what we're literally praying for, is for the kingdom to come, or for the Lord to come, for Christ to come. And so I thought I would mention that, going back to what we were talking about last week. And today, Benjamin Netanyahu is over here again and supposed to meet with Mr. Obama today. So I hope that goes well. And I do pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But we just celebrated July the 4th, and that would make it, if my math is correct, 234 years. So happy birthday to America, 234 years old. And I wish I could come and say that we were better off today than we were a year ago when we started the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. But I think we pretty much continued on the path that we were on a year ago, going away from God. And let me say, that didn't start. I know sometimes people get the impression, well, that's anti-Obama. But our country has been going away from God for years and years and years. If anything would bring our nation to its knees and cause us to come back to the Lord, I would think it would have been September 11th. And the terrorist attacks there, but you know, that lasted about a month, and people were right back the way that they were before.
Sold a lot of flags.
Some people came to church. I was a missionary in Idaho at the time, and, you know, we had a couple come to church for a couple of Sundays, you know, and came out to pray and a few things like that. But by and large, I don't know that that changed the heart of our nation. It got us into a war, and a war that's still going on and seems to be no end to it. But anyway, and that's where we're at. But anyway, last year, this is what I'm trying to get to today. Last year, I said this statement. I said, I was talking about how probably most Americans have no idea how we got here and why we got here. And there's a prime example of that yesterday in the Winston-Salem Journal. There was a questionnaire that they'd asked different people all around the country that was going around asking people, what are the five fundamental rights that the First Amendment guarantees us? And some of the responses were just, some of them were close, a couple of them were right, but some of them were not even close, you know. People don't know our history and how we got here. But I said last year that what we need to do in this country is we need to know why we got here and how we got here. And last year, I talked about the Declaration of Independence and the reading of it. Now, it was signed July the 4th, 1776, which declared our independence from Britain. But the first public reading of the Declaration of Independence was on July the 8th, 1776. And on that day, that took place in Philadelphia. The bells rang to call the people together. That's how they would call the people together for something important. So they rang the bells. Some historic Liberty Bell was rang at that time also, but others say it was already cracked and into disuse at that time. But anyway, they rang the bells. The people came together. The verse Leviticus 25, verse number 10, is on the Liberty Bell. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. Some people say, you know, America's not a Christian nation, but you cannot divorce Christianity from the history of the United States of America. Samuel Adams on that day said this about when the people came together for the public reading of the Declaration of Independence. He said that the people seemed to recognize this resolution as though it were a decree promulgated from heaven. And so the public reading of the Declaration of Independence, I would like to do that once again today. I did it last year on July the 4th, the Tuesday after July the 4th, and I want to do that again today in honor of America's birthday and the great history which we share together and the great things that God has done for us. This is a transcript of the Declaration of Independence, July 4, 1776, and it says the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. And let me say, you can't see this, of course, but originally in the Declaration of Independence, the United in United States of America, it was a little U. And the states of America, states and America, were capitalized there. And over the years, we've seen that change to a capital U, United States of America. But originally, the United was not capitalized, emphasizing the importance of the individual states and state rights. And so it begins like this: when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to separation. And they begin to give out the reasons why they were going to declare their independence from England. Then there's the famous line: we hold these truths to be self-evident, meaning everybody ought to recognize this and see this, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And let me say right there, this does not guarantee our rights. The Bill of Rights does not guarantee our rights. The Constitution does not guarantee our rights. This recognizes this document, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. What they do is recognize that these rights come from God, and the rights that come from God cannot be taken away by a righteous form of government. Now, many times these rights are taken away, but it's not righteous, because these rights have been given to us by God, and anything God gives us, man cannot have a right to take away. So it talks there that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And then it says that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. And so what it's talking about there, that the reason of government is to ensure that these rights are not taken away, trampled upon, infringed upon in any way whatsoever. That's one of the reasons why God gave us government, and that these powers are derived from the consent of the governed. That's we the people. I remember when Miss Congresswoman Virginia Fox came on the radio broadcast a little over a year, or, you know, she was probably one of the first guests that I had, and she was talking about the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, and she said that the three most important words outside of Scripture are "we the people," and how true that is. We the people have to wake up. We have to be involved. We have to recognize how important our part is in government. If we just go on about our business and we don't pay any attention to what's going on in the State House in North Carolina or in Washington, D.C., then don't be surprised when you wake up one morning and our freedoms are gone. And that's the way our government has been going now for many, many years. Well, let me go on. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. What they're saying there is when government begins to trample upon these unalienable rights, then it is the right, it is the duty of the people to alter or to abolish that government. So we, the people, we are the watchdogs of our government. We need to really be paying attention to what is going on in Washington, what is going on in Raleigh. We're to be the watchdogs. We're to be aware of what our government is doing to us. Then it goes on and says, prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient reasons. And accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. And what they're saying right there is that the people are not to rise up and change the government every time something happens that they don't like. You don't do this for small reasons. You don't do this because of nickel tax on an acre of property or something like that. We have a wonderful system in our country, supposed to be of checks and balances, where if we don't like something, we come, we are able to have a redress of grievances. We have the wonderful right to vote in and out our elected leaders and all these things. So what they were saying in the original Declaration of Independence, that they didn't come to this decision to leave Britain overnight. And it goes on and it says why they came to this decision to have a Declaration of Independence. It says, but when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object invents a design designed to reduce them under absolute despotism. And I have a Dave over the weekend, I put a sign on the store that said, if I can remember the quote, but it's from Thomas Jefferson. It says, timid men prefer the calm of despotism to the tempestuous sea of liberty. And that's a whole lot to put on a little, you know, outside sign.
Yeah, that is a lot.
But I was talking with my son about that. And despotism is absolute, an absolute dictator. It is a ruler that is a tyrant. An absolute dictator is what despotism is. And I thought that was really good. Timid men prefer the calm of despotism. Well, let me just go on, watch my ball games, go to work, come home, you know, don't rock my boat to the tempestuous sea of liberty. If we keep liberty, we have to fight for our liberty. We have to be vigilant over the liberty that we have. And so it goes on, and it says, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. And I've talked about this before, to throw off such government. Somebody asked me about the militia. A true militia is not in place. And I'm talking about a militia like we find in the Second Amendment that is there, that is necessary to a free state. George Mason, he signed the Declaration of Independence, and he said that the militia was the whole body of people minus public officials. The militia is we the people. The militia is the armed citizenry. That's what the militia is. But the militia is not there to overthrow the government. The militia is there as a defensive position to be able to throw off such government. If the government becomes tyrannical, if the government becomes oppressive, if the government becomes unrighteous and unjust, the militia is there to throw off, not to overthrow. And there's a difference between those two things. To overthrow something is to take the offensive. But to throw off is to be on the defense and to be able to get that person or that government off of you. So they realized that they had a right, they had a duty to throw off the tyrannical government of King George and the British Empire and to provide new guards for their future security. And I'm still reading out of the Declaration of Independence. Then it goes on and says, such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present King George of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. And I realize our time is just about gone for today, but what we have following after that, and I encourage you to go and read the Declaration of Independence, there's 27 specific grievances against King George. And let me say today, if you go and read those grievances, you will find some of the same things going on in our government today. Just an example or two, one of them said he has refused to assent to laws the most wholesome and necessary for the public good. He has forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance. And we could say right there that the immigration debate in Arizona, that's one of the most shameful things I can think of, to think that our states, who are supposed to be sovereign, are trying to do something for the betterment of their people and to protect their state. And the federal government has come out not in support of, but in opposition to, and the government has threatened to, and in the process of suing the state of Arizona over something which under the Constitution they have every right to do, the 10th Amendment. And we could go on and on and on down through here. He has made judges dependent on his will alone for the tenure of their offices and the amount and payment of their salaries. We could talk about the progressive appointments of judges in the Supreme Court and other courts throughout our land. He has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance. We could talk about the czars. We could talk about that the IRS is going to have a huge increase of agents because of the health care bill. Now, what does the IRS and the health care have to do with each other? And anyway, we could go on and on. But the Declaration of Independence, I wanted to read that today, and Lord willing, if time goes on, I'll make it a thing that we do every year. We'll read from the Declaration of Independence, but pray for our country. And I want to say to our listeners, I do appreciate you listening in from week to week. I desire your prayers. I want to say I thank the church at Mount Lebanon for supporting it, and I appreciate Dave for sticking with me this past year and commenting and listening and being in here, and he runs the show, board.
I play
and
the
all
music.
Like, he plays the music.
Just started right there.
All right. Thank you, Dave.
Well, thank you for coming in and doing your show, Wynn, and happy 1 year anniversary.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Next year, I won't be, or next week, it'll be pre recorded.
Right.
And so I'll be out of town, but I appreciate your prayers going on a little mission trip to Alaska.
Well, be careful.
I'll try to.
Come back in one piece.
We'll try. Stay away from the grizzlies.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty on AM 1450 WATA Boone. North Carolina News now.